You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Here we are at the threshold of a new year. What will it bring to the world? More pressures and pain, or more peace and prosperity? At the end of the year, economists are having their usual field day, using the tools of their trade to analyze the problems that do exist, and sometimes to predict the future that may take place. Sooner than not, it seems, the science of economics lets the experts down, and they have to eat their words almost before they have left their mouths or pulled their papers out of the typewriter. Politicians and business leaders go out on a limb with predictions about what the future will bring, often with a good deal of tongue-in-cheek, because no one likes to go out on a limb which can be quickly sawed off. Stargazers and clairvoyants look into the misty future and come up with 100 predictions. Later on, they brag about the 10 which turn out to be at least half right. Even meteorologists, with all of their advances in the art of prediction, are not too sure about what the weather will be the day after tomorrow. Looking far down the corridors of time, with both feet planted firmly on the ground, and his head, along with his heart, closely in touch with his Father, Jesus said to people, always fascinated by the future, "You don't know at which hour the Son of Man is coming." All the super-confident predictions that have been made about the return of the Son of Man in all his glory to judge the world, including the year, the day, and even the hour of the day, have turned out to be untrue. Jesus never encouraged such predictions. In fact, he actively discouraged them. Jesus left no doubt, however, that the Son of Man will return, surrounded by his holy angels, and all flesh will see the event together. Did Jesus have anything to say to people whose sense of time is always heightened by the end of one year and the beginning of another? While cautioning people against making predictions which can more easily be forgotten than defended, Jesus said with the utmost confidence, "Don't be afraid, little flock, because it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Notice the first words of what Jesus has to say about the future. "Fear not." Fear is so prevalent in every part of the world that it might be called normal. Many of the predictions made about the future, assuring people that nothing bad is going to happen, rise out of the fear that it could happen. Children are afraid that their parents will leave them, if not just for a shopping trip or a short vacation, then in death or some other way. Young people are afraid that others may not like them or that they themselves will not be able to make it in a competitive world. Older people fear that they will not have enough money to live out their lives without becoming dependent upon someone else. People everywhere are afraid of sickness, vandalism, fire, war, you name it, and somebody's afraid of it. If there's one fear which grips just about everybody, it is fear of the future. So unclear, so unpredictable, and often so threatening. Since the discovery of nuclear fission, people have become afraid even of their own shadows, which could be permanently etched on the places where they are standing if the big blast should ever come. Someone has written, "I said to a man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown.' He replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than the light and safer than the known way.'" That thought, though beautifully expressed, is vague in comparison to what Jesus has to say. "Don't be afraid, little flock. It has pleased your Father to give you the kingdom." "Fear not, don't be afraid," said Jesus. Look at who's talking. Jesus of Nazareth. He lived a long time ago. Times have changed. What did he know about the modern world and the fears it produces? What did he know about children, for example, or about young people, and about adults struggling to make a living, not to speak about preparing a hedge against old age? The great thing about Jesus is that nothing human ever escaped his attention. He never had a mortgage to his name. He was content to live in borrowed houses, to die on a place prepared for criminals, and to be laid to rest in a borrowed tomb. He told his followers not to be worried about the trivialities of life. For he said, "Your heavenly Father knows the things you need." He told his people to use their heads, but not to lose their hearts, evidently mindful of the prophetic pronouncement made a long time before, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." "Why," said Jesus, "your Father even knows about the necessities of life, the ordinary things you need. He takes care of the lilies of the field, doesn't he? How much more will he take care of you?" In a bad storm, a parent will tell a little child, "Don't be afraid, I'm here." Does this assurance really change anything? Not at all. The storm doesn't go away. The thunder and lightning continue. But the presence of a trusted parent means everything. Jesus knew that himself, and he wanted us all to know it. In the midst of the storm, "Fear not, I am with you. Your Father is mindful of you." What makes all the difference in the world is whether you believe him or not. Jesus is not saying to people, "Don't be afraid, everything will be okay." Many of you know that everything is not always okay. God does not tell you, "Fear not, for nothing bad will ever happen to you." He's never promised you a trouble-free life. What he does say is, "Fear not, for I am with you. I'm with you in fair weather and in foul. I'm with you when you're lonely and discouraged. I'm with you to make time of celebration a time of remembrance and resolution, with both feet on the ground." Faith in God is the answer of Jesus to the fightings and fears within and without, which assail people and threaten to overcome them every time they contemplate the future. Faith takes hold of fear and subdues it. Faith takes hold of God, whose gracious and saving presence becomes a reality in life, instead of being merely a subject for a college bull session of an evening. You can't argue yourself into faith. It doesn't come that way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's a product of God's power that shakes people up, but does not shake them down. Shaken up with the conviction of sin against God, of rebellion against his authority, and refusal to go his way, people are grabbed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not the other way around. You don't grab him. He grabs you. The promise of the kingdom comes from him, dynamic in its force and in the results it produces. The promise of the kingdom the Lord Jesus Christ came to bring to the world is the promise of life in the midst of the storm, rich in forgiveness and abundant in life. It leads people to take the hand of God with faith in Jesus Christ, which is better than any torch you can buy and safer than the known way. Fear is not to be overcome in numbers, doing what everybody else is doing around you. The majority can be wrong. The secular majority, urging people to live for purely temporary ends, can most certainly be wrong. So can the religious majority, if it leads people to think of salvation from fear as something they can do for themselves. The kingdom of which Christ himself is king comes from God and leads to God. God has not left himself without witness in the world. His Son, by whom the worlds were created with a word, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is true as his death for the sins of the world, and his being raised to life again to be the Lord of heaven and earth. It's true that you have forgiveness from God. purely out of the goodness of his heart, all because of Jesus Christ. It's true that faith in Jesus Christ means trusting him, receiving his forgiveness gratefully, and living your life gracefully with all the power that God gives. It's his kingdom, to be received rather than to be achieved. Fear not, little flock, because it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What an unexpected pleasure. Who would ever think that God would do something like this for you, or for me, or for anyone? Who would think it? And who would ever make it come true except God himself? That's what he does in Jesus Christ. He makes the unexpected come true. The kingdom is not coming with signs to be observed, said Jesus. Luke 17. In his last conversation with his disciples, he emphasized this fact. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has determined by his own authority. Acts 1. Paul repeated what the Lord himself had said. Of the times or seasons, brethren, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5. Nobody, but nobody has any idea when that unexpected hour will be. He who believes has eternal life, Jesus said. The kingdom is right here, wherever Jesus lives in the heart of a believer. The joy of heaven is not here yet, but eternal life is here with faith in Jesus Christ, to be received with the only quality that is appropriate to such a gift, with gratitude. Irving Cobb used to say, always expect the worst, then you'll never be disappointed when it comes, and you will have a happy surprise if it does not. Jesus says exactly the opposite. Expect the best from God, and you will never be disappointed. His gift is the kingdom where Christ rules, and life eternal is a present possession. A man walked into a store and said, "This is my wife's birthday. I'd like to buy her a good ballpoint pen." The clerk winked at him and said, "Oh, a little surprise, eh?" "Yes," the man replied, "it will be a surprise. She's expecting a Cadillac." God surprises people in exactly the opposite way. There's no good reason to expect anything, and he promises life, life in the kingdom, prepared for those who love him. I was told of the president of a bank in a small Texas town who was very sensitive about his bald head. In order to conceal that head of his, he constantly wore a cowboy hat, even at the bank. A rancher came in to cash a check. "Ned, why don't you open up an account with us?" the president asked. "I've thought about it," the rancher replied, "but I'd be a little bit uneasy. With that hat of yours, you always look as if you were about to leave town." God is not about to leave town. He sends his Spirit to warn you about the emptiness of life without him, and to comfort you with the fullness of life which is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ does not ask you to open an account with him. That would be the way some people think of it, but that's not the way it is. The account is his, which he paid for in full with the sacrifice of himself for you. He gave you a whole book of blank checks already signed by him. It's the one check his Father recognizes. His is the bank of the realm, the kingdom, of which he is the head. "Fear not," he says. "Out of his good pleasure, the Father offers you the promises of the kingdom, grace and forgiveness for every day, and the glory of life forever." The door to the kingdom is not the black door of a certain tyrant who loved to torture captured prisoners, giving them two choices. Either they could be shot at once, or they could save their lives by walking through the black door to an uncertain fate. Knowing the tyrant's reputation for cruelty, almost all the prisoners would choose to be shot right away rather than risk some horrible torture. The tyrant used to laugh as he told his aides, "Anyone who walks through that black door gets his unconditional freedom. Only a few have ever been brave enough to try it." It may be just a little flock, harassed by uncertainties on every side, but it is made up of brave people. With the courage of faith in Jesus, they take the hand of God and walk into the unknown. Take his hand and walk into the unknown which is before you. Don't be afraid, said Jesus. Follow the road of faith and let all the fears go their own way. Act in love as God has acted for you, loving the world so much that he gave his own Son, that whosoever believes in him should not go the dying way, but have eternal life. Don't be afraid. Fear not. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom cannot be bought. It's received with confidence in Jesus, trusting him and following him. In the darkness of the future, faith beats fear all hollow, taking hold of the extended hand that God offers you in his Son, the Savior of the whole world. It's a better way. It's the only way, brightened by a beacon that gives more light than anything you could invent or buy, and safer than any known way, no matter how long or how often you've traveled that way. Meet God, face to face with Jesus Christ. Let fear go by the board with faith and love toward Jesus Christ. Fear not, he says. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen.